Hello and welcome to a special meeting of the Village of CarMax on August 14th, 2025, 7 o'clock. Call the meeting to order. Can we get a motion to approve the agenda?
I'll move.
I'll second.
All in favor? Thank you. Action items is the council to review and approve CarMax Housing Development Grant Policy. So welcome, Jane.
Hi,
Jane.
everybody. Hi. Great. What I was just curious about whether we were also going to try to have a quick discussion about the allocation amount. Is that a topic for tonight as well? Okay,
Like
super.
we're here to talk about the whole policy
Yeah.
as it's presented.
Okay, perfect. All right. Well, maybe the best place to start is by asking if everybody's had a chance to review the revised version with the track changes noted that tried to address, at least in part, some of the input that came out of last week's council meeting.
Yes. I don't know if everybody else has reviewed. I've reviewed some, but maybe we could just point some of those out.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see here. All right. So I think the main concerns that we heard from the three fellows who attended, one was a concern about the need to own land and asking if there was some way to factor in folks like him into this policy. The other point that he made was just how significant a challenge it's going to be for anybody, whether they own land or not, to pull this off within the timelines that we've set out. So that was the first sort of bundle of concerns we heard. We also had the gentleman who requested that lot servicing also be eligible under this. The policy as it was written at the time did sort of vaguely allow for earlier payment if servicing was required on the lot. So anyways, I took those sort of requests, issues back to Mark, and he and I batted them around for a while. Where we landed was this: we don't feel it's prudent for council to be providing grants for people who don't own property. There's a couple of issues. One, realistically, these folks are so far behind the eight ball in terms of readiness, that the chances of it all working out, I think, are low. The second part is I don't know what kind of security council will have without a property being owned. So if money is changing hand and there is like truly nothing to show for it, that's a big risk. And CMHC, the way it works is every year, or at least so far, we've only done one reporting year. We're telling them what the money was spent on, what the details were. We want to look as fiscally responsible as possible with the money that I think is being given out. So Mark and I both continue to recommend that the eligibility criteria be people who own lots or can provide an agreement for sale. So that's the first one. In terms of the servicing, what we did is we created a new sort of additional grant of $10,000 each to cover off the need to install a septic system or a well or both. $10,000 each. There was also a request for power. Mark felt that that was going a step too far, and the reason being that I think it's easy to point out that CarMax has some unique servicing challenges compared to other Yukon municipalities. Power, it's a wash. When you're buying a lot, power is there to the lot line, it's provided. So I think Mark, I guess I could say I was somewhat neutral on this one. Mark felt it was going a step too far to also provide an additional incentive to bring power when there's already power to any lot line that somebody has purchased, at least from the government of Yukon. So we did write that in, that there's a new servicing grant of $10,000 each. So factoring in sort of the original, what I'm calling now the base grant amount of $40,000 plus the bonus grant of $7,500 if they can get a building permit by December 31st, plus servicing grant. The amounts we're talking about now, and this is at the top of page two, is somebody could theoretically get up to 67.5 for one dwelling unit, all the way up to $210,000 for four dwelling units if they get every single one of the different grants. So that's the first piece, hopefully addressing the servicing. Immediately, what comes up for me is a scenario in which there are going to be multiple people applying for a grant. Some of them only need or want the $40,000. They have a service lot. Maybe some of them are going for the whole enchilada. They're going for the base amount plus the servicing grants. In my mind, you want to avoid a scenario in which you're holding a lottery and the higher cost applicants are getting priority ahead of the lower cost applicants. Because at the end of the day, all we're trying to achieve here, other than obviously facilitate housing, is getting those building permits that we can show to CMHC. So if you can get a building permit for $40,000 versus $67,500, that's a smarter use of money. So I rejigged the lottery sort of administration, and that's shown on page three, so that there is a lottery held for all of the base grant amounts, basically the $40,000 ask. Then there is a lottery for the base amounts for the retroactive developments. That's another detail. I know council had requested that those be considered. I think that we should do that, but they should be a secondary priority to new building permits. Because again, this is about trying to maximize the number of new building permits that the village is bringing in. The third level of lottery will be for the servicing grants for one application only. And then the fourth will be for a second servicing application. So you're not running into a scenario where somebody who's asking for both septic and well squeezes out somebody who's only asking for a well. So that is how I kind of rejigged the lottery system. The other thing that probably should be highlighted is on page four at the bottom, said that servicing grants are going to be considered a loan up until the point that the base grant has been utilized. So the base grant again is the $40,000. They can't get any of the $40,000 base grant until they can show progress on an actual building. So here's the challenge. For the servicing to happen, we know that money's going to have to be fronted. So Mark and I feel that a reasonable compromise between giving money out without anything tangible to show for it and enabling people to make these investments where they otherwise might not be able to. We feel like the sweet spot is asking for a building permit, asking people to get their building plans to the point where they can get a building permit. They provide that to the village, then they can have their servicing grants. And in terms of the So you're still running a risk of ending up in a scenario where somebody receives a servicing grant, they've got the building permit, so that's awesome, but then they never actually end up building anything. Ideally, you want to avoid that. So we did put in this provision that the village may reserve or will reserve the right to seek some form of security for those servicing grants as a loan. We kind of put that in as wiggle language because, to be honest, we haven't had time to seek legal counsel on it, and we may need to rethink that. So it's kind of there as an option, not a must. People are also going to have to provide proof of the well work or septic system work done. before they can get their base grant amount. And then there were just a few tidy up items, some gaps that I saw as I was having a closer look, just being a bit more specific around when people get a bonus development grant, i.e., the $7,500. Basically, just clarifying that they're going to have to provide proof of that building permit before they're going to get it. And that's really about it. So all of the changes, or almost all of the changes, really tried to respond to the concerns that were raised by the attendees. Oh, sorry, one other piece. In terms of the challenge of the timing challenge that was raised, and is absolutely legitimate, of course, there's limited things we can do because we know CMHC is requiring the village to spend the money by the end of 2027. So, what I did to try to help with that was, sorry, I'm just looking for the right clause. Okay, 7.6 on page 5. The breakdown between the first and second installment for that $40,000 base grant used to be 75% and 25%. I upped it to 85%. So that hopefully mo that if people are in a situation where they get the building clad to weather, but they just can't get it across the finish line, so to speak, to full occupancy by November 15th, 2027, they've still received the healthy portion of the grant. So I thought that that was maybe a bit of a, I don't know, compromise, like a little bit of extra help that we could give folks, recognizing that they do have some significant timing challenges ahead of them. And hopefully they'll still be incentivized to go after that f the remaining 15%. Sorry, that's a lot. It's really hard to talk in general highlight terms about policies. Hopefully.
I have a question, Jane, about the it says on 4.2 major housing development, it says eligible property owners may receive a base development grant up to a value of 30,000. Is that like the 30 plus a 10, or what? Where is the 30 coming if it was a 40, or is the 30 because it's a major?
Oh, sorry. Yes. So it's 30 because it's major.
Okay,
And
let's go
that was
40.
kind of one of our early discussions where we decided that maybe 40 for those larger projects was a, that we could probably reduce it to 30 given that they've got economies of scale or some economy of scale with the larger projects.
Okay.
I think that
I
can
should.
only happen on a commercial lot or that one multi-residential lot that we have, right?
Well, that's what I'm questioning is a major, it also involves like a duplex, right?
No, it's 4 units or more.
Yeah.
It's only.
It's 5 or more. So the standard is up to 4 and the major is 5 or more.
So if,
So
yeah, if you had a duplex and you're in a minor, you're still getting the 40 then.
yeah.
So That's right.
that's
Yeah. Yeah.
40,
Yeah.
40 per, sorry. Yeah.
40 per dwelling. Yeah.
Per dwelling, yeah. Yeah,
40 per
that's.
dwelling unit, plus you have the opportunity to get the 7,500 per unit bonus if you can get your building permit by New Year's Eve. And then you also have the potential to get the servicing grants on top of that. So it's stacked.
Can you point me in the right direction of where it says the village CarMax may waive fees of disposal of construction debris? Or
Yeah.
they're on the last, it's the last
Oh,
four
okay,
for
I
one
see.
of them. Okay.
Yeah, under 4.2 major housing, it's the last bullet.
Okay, so I
Yeah.
heard.
I thought it was on 4.1.
Perfect.
I just wanted to have a, I didn't see the part about the loan, and I just wanted to talk about how that the mechanism of that. I don't know the I don't recall the rule. I don't know that municipalities can loan. money. I think maybe not, but we can grant money. And I think the way that you can ensure that it's repayable
Yep.
is tying it to, so these grants, so I don't know if it says this in here either. I'm kind of thinking and talking at the same time, but these grants are need to be attached to the property and not the person applying, so that if the person sells the property, this remains with the property, not the new owner. So if you loaned money, I don't know if we can use the word loan, but we find that
Yeah.
out, I guess. It would be if they didn't actually end up building a dwelling, so they put in a septic field and they put in a well, but they never actually built anything, then we could attach those costs to the property tax process, the property tax process, similar to the rural domestic well. You know, you pay so much a year until it's paid off. Some sort of something like that, because otherwise there's no mechanism for it. We can't say we're loaning it to you if there's no mechanism for repayment, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree, Corey. And like full disclosure, Mark is at the Canada Games. I'm in BC on holiday. We know timing is fairly urgent on this. And so we didn't have time to really do a deep dive of what the implications of that would be. So our goal was to leave the door open to figuring that out without being certain as to what the mechanism might be. So I get your point about the loan. Maybe that language should be removed. But the idea is that the village, it could, if it wants and if it's realistic, like once we get legal advice, yeah, put a caveat against title or something like that that makes it's really probably the biggest value given the cost of lawyers and the headaches and neighbors and all of the complications of small town, what this could look like. It's there really to signal to people, this is serious. This is not free money, that you are responsible for it.
I think it could be easily done if you call it a repayable grant instead of a
Okay.
loan.
Okay.
And
Hippo grant. Awesome.
if you say that somewhere like the details of the repayment will be in the agreement. So everybody needs to sign an agreement if they actually get the grant, right? Like there should be some sort of drafted agreement, and you can lay out the details of repayment there. You just need to say that that's the mechanism for in the policy. Does that
Okay.
make
That
sense?
sounds good.
For now,
That
that's
sounds
great.
like a good. That this is the challenge with the servicing piece, right? Or the idea of giving up any money before there's actual work to show for it. At least with the base grant, like that really speaks to the dwelling, they're not getting any money until they can provide proof, until there's an inspection, until there's photos. So the village has a fair bit of like risk control built into those grants and how they're administered. It's just if we start going beyond that into fronting money for people, yeah, we've got to have some way of at least leaving the door open to getting that money back if it's not used the way it was intended.
So I'm just curious if the grant was attached to the tax. The people, if they sold the property, that would still be attached to the new owner that would have to pay those fees. And then you might have a problem with selling lots that have fees attached to them.
But it has a well, or it didn't
Well, I was
before
going
that.
to
So
say, you got that. They might have sent you to do it, even though you're taking it on, because it's done now for you.
the value of the property increases.
If that's right.
It's exactly what they do in their rural well program. It attaches to the property, and the new owner takes on the increased tax rate.
I'm not positive that that scenario is going to be administratively the simplest. We may also want to just register a caveat against title, and it when that property is sold, or if it is to be sold, that debt has to be settled before it can be sold. Like I think there's probably a few different ways we could approach it. And I think that grant idea, Corey, is a good one to look into. So I think Mark and I would like to just buy a bit of time to get some advice and figure out the mechanism exactly, but at least in the policy for now, signal that this is something that people should expect.
I think it's good because I think that that's a real deterrent to people developing is the cost of those basic things.
Any other questions for Jane?
I have one.
Yes, go ahead and ask.
Like in 4.1, it still says like for the standard housing grant, it says off up to 40,000, so it doesn't say 40,000, so it can be less, or like maybe I'm reading this wrong, but it's like I
Yeah,
just
yeah. That's
so.
a really good question. I think that I think that's probably classic like wiggle room language. I think the intention is to give people 40. But if there is some scenario that maybe we can't fully foresee, like I don't know. I don't know what that would be. I think this was how the Watson Lake policy was written as well. It was written with up to, but they have actually given out the full amount to everybody. So we could just get rid of that, or we could leave it, and maybe, who knows, it could save the day in some scenario that we can't quite picture right now.
I think it, Jane, I think it leaves room there if some applications aren't met in the first r run, or if there's only so much money that you could adjust that amount.
That's the way I
Yeah.
looked at it.
That's it.
That's the way I looked at it.
Yeah. Yeah,
This
exactly.
paragraph two at the end of 4.1, the last one that's been added, where it says factoring in the base grant and it's got those various amounts. I can't imagine a scenario where three dwelling units are going on the same crop. They wouldn't be going on the same property with a well and a septic field.
So that's for a minor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where is it?
That yeah, that's
So,
for a standard we're calling them, but yeah, basically the minor.
a property owner would only get that much if they have multiple properties, right? Like you wouldn't, I don't even know if we can build three dwelling units on any particular property that isn't commercial or multi-residential.
Yeah, they would have to be joined like a.
Think it's two. I think it's maximum. Isn't it maximum two?
I don't give maximum two is what you got to talk about. I'm new at this, but I
That's
remember.
for a minor.
Right. So a
So,
urban
yeah,
residential
minor,
lot
yeah.
downtown, you can have two dwelling units. A country residential lot, you can have two dwelling units. So it's unlikely that anybody would get three or four dwelling units unless they're commercial. And if they are commercial, they're on the sewer system.
They're onto a major development
Yeah.
package anyway. But I do
Or
have
they're
another
connected to
question.
the sewer system, yeah.
Or they would like you wouldn't put four individual septic fields on a property.
Yeah,
Yeah, so then
totally.
it, that's a great question.
How is, I think, one grant? That's what Jane mentioned. Like for one well.
It's for dwelling. So a dwelling can get a well and a septic field. So if you have four dwellings, you can get four wells and four septic fields. But
No, sorry.
practically,
The
it doesn't. Oh.
way that the math the so the math that's shown there assumes that it's always one property and that there would only be one well and one septic servicing multiple
Okay.
dwellings.
I don't
Yeah.
want to throw a name here, but other than the bed and breakfast, they don't have four septic fields.
No, she's just clarifying that it's per property.
Yeah,
Yeah.
that's what I was trying to
So
say.
you
That,
can
yeah.
never get more than one servicing grant for the well and the
Yeah.
septic, whether you build four or one. You're only going to get one
Yes.
well, one septic paid for or partially paid for.
And somebody couldn't build a bed and breakfast with this because of the short-term rental
No, I just
concept.
bring that up for
Yeah.
being that there'd only be one. You wouldn't have two or three septics just
Right.
because of the size of a building.
Yeah. Sorry, I
Yeah.
didn't actually do the math. I just.
It's okay. And I did it three
Oh.
times to make sure I didn't screw it up. Yeah.
Perfect.
But Yeah, that was the intention. Yeah, I added up what the base grant amount would be and then only ever kept with the one and the one for the well and the septic as I kept increasing the number of dwelling units.
Yeah, so
But
technically,
the bonus grants are per dwelling unit, so those kept going up.
so the 3 and 4 dwelling units is the major. That's just where it's written under minor, but it's for the major, and that's the amount that they can receive.
You can get it.
And then
No,
minor's
so
only up to two.
yeah, no, my so a standard we're calling it, or we could change it to minor if that sort of makes more sense to people. It's up to four units, and then it's five and up that get the majors, and the majors are where things get a lot more flexible. There could be, a number of different tools that are used. Likely it's cash that's going to be desired, I think we can imagine. But yeah, I think the majors, realistically, we're talking about CDC and we're talking about maybe coal mine if the owner is inclined to do something, which we've certainly heard he might be. I think those are the only scenarios where there's a major.
Any other questions for Jane?
See, this could be an issue if all of us are considering this, because then you would not need to step back and not vote on it. Because
Well, we don't necessarily need to vote on this right now, but if
no,
Jane,
but it could be an issue, because if you have any fiduciary
pecuniary.
yeah, pecuniary interests
Oh, yes,
in something,
right.
you might,
Yeah.
it could be seen as conflict.
Yeah.
Well, six counselors got three, six
Yeah,
counselors got
exactly.
three houses before. I don't remember
Yes.
that going up to
I well, I don't see, even if I was,
yeah.
you're allowed to make the decision on things as long as they
Yeah.
cover a large base
Yeah.
of the population. So
It's
this
not
covers everybody
affecting me
individually.
individually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, Justin. It's just too much work right now.
No, it's a great opportunity. It should be
I think
timing.
this is, oh,
Yeah.
sorry. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead, Jane.
Yeah, I don't know about, council specific conflict of interest rules and how you might want to deal with that, but I think some of those concerns are another reason that Mark and I don't want to deviate too far from what other communities have done, and Watson Lake is really our model here. I think that this new addition of the servicing grants, we can point back to the minutes of that meeting last week, and the $10,000 was even the specific requested amount that came from the members of the public, or at least the one who attended and spoke to this issue. So I think that there's a fairly transparent approach that we've tried to take here, if that provides any reassurance to council.
And on top of that, the trench line that we have, I don't think we're going to get overwhelmed anyway. I
Yeah,
really
I
don't. I don't
that
see.
would that's a high quality problem if we I really hope we have it. Yeah.
I do too. I do too.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I don't think we're going to have the conflict.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Jane, once let's say tentatively we accept what you have here, what's the next step that we would
The
take
next
after that?
step. Okay, well, I will tidy up the language around that repayable grant suggestion as per Corey. So thank you. So I'll tidy that up. I'll send it back to you. I think Mark and I are hoping that if council feels that it's had enough time to review this and get comfortable with it, that you're adopting it at your next meeting. And then Mark and I are jumping into preparing for the intake. The biggest part of that really is a decision around what kind of funds are going to be made available. We'll have to be very clear on that when we go out to the public. So there's going to be the call out, I guess, to property owners. I imagine that the same types of communication that we've been using so far we'll just continue to use. So a letter will probably go out to all the property owners informing them that you've passed this policy. Here's what the grant says. Here's what's available. Here's when the application deadline is. We'll have to, create the application form, all of those things. So we'll be doing all of that behind the scenes while everybody else, hopefully, who is now aware that this is happening, is getting their development permit, getting their ducks in a row. We're definitely going to need to give people a bit of time. Like the policy says, minimum 30 days. I think we'd be wise to probably give people even longer than that if we want to have a successful intake. So that's what things would look like for Mark and I.
A question.
And yeah.
Not really about the policy, about the whole program. Somebody asked me today if this is stackable funds. So there's other programs that people can get assistance through,
Absolutely.
apparently.
Yeah,
And I
absolutely.
told them I believe it is. I think it I'm pretty sure it is.
Charles asked that, didn't he? Yeah. Someone asked
Okay.
that. Someone.
Sorry, I didn't
It
mean to
will
interrupt you.
absolutely be stackable. Yeah. And so that's part of what Mark and I want to have in the intake materials is just a kind of a quick list of other incentives, like the Wells one. I mean, it's not a lot. Mark and I did the math. It's based on your property value. So probably the max you could get in CarMax would be in the $2,500 range, but still, why not? So, we'll try to provide sort of a quick list of other incentives that people might want to look at. The part that Mark and I aren't very sure of, and we've discussed this, but not in great length with Chantal, is just we know that people's readiness may vary, like the will and the desire might be there, but just simply like the experience and comfort level navigating some of these processes might really vary among applicants. And so I think we're partly prepared to have to do some hand-holding to some degree to help people get through the intake period and even possibly beyond that. So that's part, I think, of what we should all be prepared for that we may need to help people more than we might hope to for this to succeed.
Okay. Any other questions
Yeah.
for Jane?
Did you want to have a quick conversation or maybe not quick? Money's never quick, but do we want to have a quick look at what Mark and I are recommending for allocations?
Sure.
Okay. I sent an Excel sheet. I'm not sure if everybody got that. And the file name is Half 2025 Budget, August 11th.
Just opening it up here.
Okay, perfect.
So does the public know about this yet? Like, has this been public? I thought so.
This is public meeting.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So someone comes and asks us a question.
Yeah.
I can direct them to you because they're.
Yeah. Well, you can bring it to the table as.
All right, so thank you, Annette, for giving me an update the other day for where the half fund balance is at. So 2 years of funding have already been received by the village. Some has been spent.
One
Oh,
message to
sorry.
another. Okay, no, sorry.
We're just trying to get it on the screen
Yeah.
here, Jane.
Oh, okay, sorry about that. I thought it was there.
Okay.
Just let me know when you've got it.
Just a couple more minutes here.
Okay. While you're waiting for that to load, the other potential edit that I noticed came up a few times was the naming of the grants. Justin, you used the term minor, and I think that one could absolutely work. That doesn't have to be standard. That's what Watson Lake used, but would you like to see it change to a minor grant and a major grant? Would that make more sense?
Yeah, I mean, it works for me. Anybody else?
Either name works for me.
Yeah, I guess that's just how I read it when I'm reading major. I don't think there is a minor.
For sure. Okay.
We could send it from my Outlook is not. Oh. Not hard. Yeah, no, it was like so. I
Do you want me to share
think.
it? What if I share
Yeah,
it?
please. Please. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I should have thought of that earlier. Share. Okay, I'm sending a request. I think Prince, it'll come to you to share.
When are you guys leaving Delaware?
Saturday. Sometime. It's like quite Saturday. I think it's like Friday night from the daycare.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go. Can everybody see that okay, or should I bump up the
Little bit bigger. A little
little bit
bigger.
bigger? Uh-oh, where did it go? Ah, oh my goodness.
The other way, Jason, you went smaller.
I did the exact opposite of what I meant to do. There we go. How's that?
That's
Bigger?
good. Yeah. Oh.
Is that gonna work?
Bigger the better.
Bigger the
That's
better?
good.
Okay.
Yeah. Just
Okay,
scale it right
keep
up.
on going. Whoa!
There you go.
Holy.
Oh. There we
How's
go.
that?
Perfect.
Okay. So, as of this week, the half fund balance is at $740,000. So, some money has been spent already. That is what remains in the pot. So,
2.2.
Well, you get it
Not
in
that's good.
annual installments of 600 some.
Yes.
Yeah. So if you're lucky, you might end up with the 2.2 by the end of it, but it remains to be seen.
No, we'll get there.
Yeah. Let's hope. This is certainly what we're here for tonight, and all of these meetings is trying to get as close to that 2.2 or 2.4, I think it is, as possible. Okay, so $740,000 is the balance as of right now. Mark and I put together sort of our estimates for committed funding. Really, the committed funding right now is basically just to Mark and I. There's another 50 and a bit remaining on our contract, like to do the spring summer work. That we sort of set up a contract with Chantel for in the spring. There's probably going to be some additional work on our part to get us to the fall. To help roll out the development incentives, I'd like to earmark some money for our legal services. And then, of course, we always have on the side burners all the other initiatives that the village needs to deliver on. And the key one really is this idea of that village lot. Getting to the point where we've got building permits and there is a concept and or plans, hopefully to the building permit level of detail, for some kind of a staff housing project. We're going to need geotech. We're going to need an environmental site assessment, and probably some sort of architectural design work support, something like that. Again, with this initiative number six, our goal is not necessarily to break ground or do anything radical that is going to commit the village to all kinds of, but we're going to do the background policy work for you to try to sort of pave the way for you to take on maybe a new housing development. And we're going to try to get this to the building permit stage for, I think we're aiming for 6 to 8 units so that again, you get those building permits counted towards receiving the full amount. So, all totaled, by our counts, and this is just from the available funding. This is a tricky piece, but what do we expect to have to happen when the 2025 report goes in early next year? My expectation is that the building permit story is not going to look good, but we're going to be able to show a lot of progress done on the work plan. And so, if I had to hazard a guess, we're going to probably laugh about this in 6 months, thinking back to my prediction. But I like to think that CMHC is going to provide some of the funding, not all of it. So I think the probability of, the money that you have right now being it for the rest of the half duration, I think is low personally. I think you'll continue to get some level of funding, at least for this upcoming year, starting in February. So I think you're going to have more money after you've kind of dispensed of the 740. Anyways, long way of saying the half funds that I think are available for discretionary spending over the next 4 months, basically, come to about $580,000. And Mark and I are recommending that you spend 500, or sorry, not necessarily that you spend, but you signal the intention and the willingness to spend a $500,000. The reason being, technically you've got it. I think it looks very good to CMHC to see the village putting a big commitment behind this, really trying to make it work. You can't force, what's the old expression about the horse to water? You can bring the horse to water. You can't force him to drink. This is really bringing the horse to the water. And our recommended breakdown is 230 for the major, or what I guess we're going to end up calling, oh, sorry, yeah, 230 for the major, and for the standard, now to be renamed minor, 270. The math doesn't work out perfectly for the majors. That would be about 5 units that could be funded, and for the minors, that would amount to about 9 units and a bit that could be funded. So that's our recommendation. What are council's thoughts on, I guess, the total amount and the allocation between the two grant streams?
Well, I guess that's the money that we have, so that's the money we're putting up. Yeah, it's pretty straightforward, Jane.
Looks good to me.
Okay. All right. We didn't want to presume anything. It still leaves, $80,000 for contingency. If my prediction is wrong and this is the end of the road, for half funding, then hopefully there'll be some money left, a little bit of money left. But I think we also r recognize that the likelihood of this $500,000 being snapped up right away is slim to none. If that actually ended up happening, well, I think we should all celebrate.
Think
Anyhow,
positive.
yeah, think positive. Think positive. Yeah, I mean, I think Mark and I are both hoping to us, a really, really good uptake would be 4 for the minor. And it's too soon to know for the major, but we're hoping that if we really not push, if we really encourage the likely candidates or the only probable candidates for the major incentive to jump on board, that maybe we can make something happen, hopefully by December 31st, but we'll see. So I guess with that, it really rests with you, council, and as to when you want to adopt the policy formally. And Mark and I will just jump into action once you've done that.
Yeah, perfect. We have a council meeting coming up. This is why we had the special meeting, so that we could go through all this and possibly have it on the next meeting to pass that. Yeah. Anything else for Jane, councillors? Nothing. Well, thank you, Jane. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Best of luck. I'll turn around a clean copy for you and send it to Annette and Prince. We'll see you on the other side of policy adoption.
Okay, thank you very much, Jane.
Okay, have a good night, everybody.
Even one more year, we've been by saying one more year.
Could I have the motion to adjourn?
No, we're gonna sit here for a while. Just to bother you.
All motions. I never motion, all motions.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
So, if someone, we showed this to someone, they're allowed, or we got to wait till the hard, the actual.